Name of Jesus, we just thank you and praise you for this time of sharing. We thank you for your word. We pray that it will not fall on deaf ears, but it will accomplish that which you purpose for it and please for it to do on this morning. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Our topic this morning is kingdom builders or kingdom blocker. Amen. Kingdom builder or kingdom blocker? Amen. Amen. You got to decide which one are you. Which one are you? Are you a kingdom builder or are you a kingdom blocker? Now, our theme for this year, our entire year has been so far what? What is our theme then? Total dependence on Him in 2010. Our total dependence should be on Holy Spirit. Not sitting back, letting Him do everything, but letting Him lead, guide, and direct our paths. Amen? And our focus for this month, for this particular month, has been He lives. Talking about recognizing the fact that Jesus died on the cross. He came, lived on His earth. He died on the cross for our sins. And He was resurrected on the third day for our justification. Ascended up to heaven. Amen. And sent back the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that we could live the abundant life that He said that we could have. Amen. And so there's something, since He lives, there is something that we are to be about doing. And that something that we are supposed to be about doing is kingdom building. If we are infused with His Holy Spirit, if His Spirit lives within us, then we are to be about kingdom building. Amen? So I told you to turn to Ephesians 4, right? We'll start at verse 11. Say amen if you're there. Amen. It should read, and He gave some, right? All right, and He gave some what? Apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Let me stop right there. He gave some apostles. Apostles usually are recognized as the chief office in the church. The apostles, the office of apostle, you don't go to school to be apostle. Amen. It's a God-given or a Jesus-given office. To be an apostle. One notable thing about an apostle, a true apostle should have all nine gifts of the Spirit working in their lives. Amen. So He gave some apostles, but He also gave some prophets. Amen. A prophet is one who speaks forth things to come. Amen. And they usually, most times, they may not, or they may have an assigned place where they are assigned to work from. Most times, though, the office of a true prophet is usually on a national level. God gives them a word for the body of Christ at large or for a nation of people, the prophet, the office of a prophet. He gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, and He gave some evangelists. Amen. Evangelist is one who goes from place to place. Preaching the word. They usually don't have an assigned place where they operate from because their assignment is to go from place to place preaching and proclaiming the word. Then He gave some what? Pastors and teachers. Amen. He gave some pastors and teachers. And the pastor is usually one who has an assigned area to work from and assigned people to work with. Amen. As well as a teacher. The teacher will probably have a smaller group of people, but they are assigned a specific place to work from. Are you hearing me this morning? All right, I'm going somewhere, so I'm just taking the long road to get there because I just want to make sure you get there with me. All right, so He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, you may not be any of those things, but guess what? You're in that verse. Amen? For you are the sum. Are you hearing me? Now, if you read up in the chapter, it's talking about that Jesus gave these giftings to the body of Christ. And the fivefold, that's what we call them, the fivefold ministry giftings. He gave these giftings, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, to the church. And He gave them to them for a specific reason. Three reasons that He gave them to the church, which is in the next verse. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Are you there? for the edifying of the body of Christ, right? So he gave the fivefold ministry gift things to the body to perfect the saints. Whenever the Bible talks about perfecting the saints, it's talking about for your spiritual maturity. Amen. You know, what a shame it would be if 40 years from now we visit these two babies that we just dedicated this morning and they're still in the arms sucking bottles. 40 years from now. Amen. You would think something is wrong, wouldn't you not? Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that's how it's been in the body of Christ. We come in as babes in Christ. Amen. We get saved. We come in as babes in Christ. But we go to church year after year, but we're still babes in Christ. We don't mature. Are you hearing me this morning? Well, he gave the fivefold ministry giftings to the body to perfect the saints. Amen. To mature you, to grow you up. Amen. Secondly, he gave them to for the work of the ministry. Amen, amen. Anybody ever get interviewed for a job? They hired you for the job, and they didn't give you no training. They just said, okay, here, you just go to work. Most times they don't do that. Normal companies don't do that. You know, you got special people, so, you know. But most times they don't do it. Most times they train you and give you instruction as to what you need to do. Amen. Because you coming in with a mindset of how you think it ought to be done, and they have a set policy, set way they operate. Are you hearing me today? Well, that's how it is in the body of Christ. A lot of times we come into the church and we think we know how it ought to be done. Amen. But Jesus gave the fivefold ministry giftings to the church to teach you how to do his work. He has a set way that he wants his work done. And he charges us to teach you how to do his work. Amen. Third reason was for what? For the edifying of the body of Christ. For the building up of the body. See, you can be mature and still not be built up. Are you hearing me today? So he doesn't just want you mature, but he wants his body, the body of Christ, built up. Why? So that we can carry out and be about kingdom building. Amen. Now, notice also the next verse, it lets us know that it's for a specific time frame. A specific period. He says, till we all come into what? Are you there? In the unity of the faith, right? So in other words, until we all can come together in unity, and you know the body of Christ is so divided, it's a shame. Amen. We can't all even agree on how to get saved, much less how to be baptized. Amen. Some people sprinkling, some people immersing, some people pouring, some people ain't baptizing. Amen. Well, the Bible is clear, and we need to come together in the unity of the faith. It says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's just simply, he's just telling us that he wants us to get to the point where since he lives, his spirit lives in us, and we can manifest his life in the earth. And if we're going to manifest his life in the earth, then we're going to be doing some kingdom building. And if we are in fact going to manifest his life through our lives and be about kingdom building, we will have to go through what I call a self-check. Amen. Somebody say self-check. Yeah, a self-evaluation, a honest diagnostic of yourself. Amen. And we have to do that to make sure we are kingdom builders rather than kingdom blockers. This is a case where don't you worry about your neighbor. Amen. Amen. But rather take a long look at yourself. Jesus taught that don't be concerned about the splinter in my eye when you got a big 2x4 hanging out yours. Yeah. So on this morning, I'm going to give you 6 things we need to make sure the devil doesn't slip into our individual lives and into the ministry. Amen. 6 things that hinder kingdom building. Amen. Let me just pause here and let you know that this is what I call a pastoral message. It's not one to make you shout. Amen. But it's one to grow you up. Go ahead and look at your name and say, grow up. Yeah. It's one to correct you and to challenge you. Yeah, and it happens to be a message for every local part of the body of Christ at large. And it's going to show how mature you really are. Amen. If you get mad and don't want to come back, we know who's talking about you. Amen, amen, amen. All right, this message is not so much going to be as inspiring as it is to be challenging and helpful in growing you up. God wants to do some awesome things at our ministry. Amen? Okay, let me say it another way. God wants to do some awesome things through you and in you. Amen? Yeah, yeah. And this message is to get us ready. Amen. We need to get ready. There's always a time of preparation when God is preparing to do some things. And so this is our preparation message as he's getting us ready. So six things that will block kingdom building. And before I give them to you, you need to know that because we are to be about kingdom building, let me just remind you that we have an enemy that is arrayed against us. Amen. And this enemy will use all kinds of devices and all kinds of schemes against us. We know that the enemy is Satan, amen, not the devil, not your member sitting on the same pew with you, amen, nobody else, it is Satan, the devil himself, not a person, let me make that clear, amen. Now, although he will work through people, amen, you got to know that, but you also need to know that he doesn't fight fair, amen. I'm taking my shoe off here because it's hurting. Amen. I want to get comfortable because I want to unleash this morning. Amen. All right. In fact, the Bible admonishes us to know how our enemy operates. You don't have to turn into this scripture, but 2 Corinthians 2:11, it tells us that we need to know about our enemy, Satan. It says, in fact, that passage says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. God don't want you to be ignorant of your enemy. He wants you to know how your enemy operates. Amen. You know, the NBA playoffs are going on right now. And just before they go into the playoffs, every coach, they take film on the opposing team and study it to find out, hey, what are their strong points and what are their weak points so that we can focus on them so that we can win the series. Amen. And it's the same thing in the body of Christ. Amen. We need to sometimes take notice of what the devil is doing, how he operates and how he has operated so that he won't get the victory in our lives. Amen. We ought to keep our spiritual eyes and ears open and constantly check ourselves to make sure we're not the one the enemy can use to disrupt kingdom building. If everyone is keeping watch over themselves, amen, there should be no way that the enemy can get in. Am I right about it? Let me ask you a question on this morning, if you mind. Let me ask you a question. If the works of God and the works of Jesus are going forth, who do you think gets mad? God or the devil? Yeah, yeah. All right. Do you think that the devil wants kingdom building, kingdom growth and development of the saints to go on? No. Then we've got to make sure that we're not the ones he can work through. We got to make sure we're the ones that don't get mad when growth and development is going forward. And what often happens is your anger may be misdirected at some area, some other area in the ministry or ministry member, amen, but it is still Satan working in your life. The point is when kingdom building is going on, ain't nobody mad but the devil. Yeah. In the Old Testament, I'm just running a reference here so you can see this. In the Old Testament, Satan worked through a man named Sanballat. You can check this out in Nehemiah chapter 4. He worked through a man named Sanballat as Nehemiah. He was given an assignment by God to build up the walls of Jerusalem. And so Sanballat, he got mad, he got angry, and he began to do some things to disrupt kingdom building. Well, also, you know, Satan wrote through Judas, right? And encouraged him to betray Jesus. He began to give him a false sense of what really was going on. Well, you know that Satan wrote through the scribes and the Pharisees to have Jesus crucified. Amen. They were supposed to be the religious leaders of that day, right? Yeah, well, in Paul's day, recorded in Acts chapter 16, he worked through a little girl. He worked through a little girl to disrupt Paul's ministry. And the point is, Satan will use whoever opens the door for him. I'm admonishing you again. Don't you be the one he uses. And so to stop kingdom building or to hinder kingdom building, Satan will sneak these six things in that we have to be aware of, that we have to guard against. I call them kingdom building blockers. Yeah, I call them that because if left unchecked, they can hinder kingdom growth and development and impede it. And if they're not dealt with, they can altogether or ultimately stop kingdom growth and development. So I want you to write them down because I'm going to review them as we're going along. Are you ready for the first one? Well, you can turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Amen. The first one is, Lord, help me this morning. You ready? Backbiting and gossip. Yeah. Now, the dictionary definition of backbiting actually is to speak spitefully or slanderously about a person who's not present. Gossip is rumor or talk of a personal, sensational, or intimate nature about a person who's not present. In other words, when you're talking about somebody that's not present in a negative way, you are gossiping. Amen. And I don't care how juicy the news is, we as kingdom people need to refrain from backbiting and gossiping and listening to it. Amen. Amen. Because the person that listens to it is just as guilty as the one doing it. It's like supply and demand. There would be no demand for it. I mean, there would be no supply for it if there was no demand. Amen. Girl, did you hear about this? No, what? Juicy, itchy ears. 1 Peter 1, 15. Are you there? It says, but you there? Here's the page turning. It says, but as he which hath called you is holy. Well, who called you? Who called you? We know that was God the Father called Jesus the Son. He called it Holy Spirit. Has called us into holiness. Amen? Yeah, so as he which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of, what's that next word there? Yeah, conversation. That's your talk, your manner of living. Amen? Amen. We need to be holy. And that doesn't mean we got to say all the latest Christian cliches. Amen. I'm blessed of the Lord, highly favored. I'm walking in the favor of God. No, he's not talking about that. He's saying that don't let your mouth be filled with so much junk. Amen. Amen. Backbiting and gossip has a way of eroding and wearing down the spiritual hedge that was built to protect you. You do know that you're covered by the King. Amen. Amen. But you know, he can do nothing if you tear down the covering. Amen. And when you participate in it and backbiting and gossip, it leaves a gap where the enemy can get in and cause disruption in kingdom building. Amen. Listen, there is something wrong if people feel comfortable bringing you mess to dump it off on you. That tells me they look on you as a garbage can. And they want to dump their trash off on you. Why not rather get together and pray for that individual? Amen? Especially since that person is so heavy on your heart. Amen? Backbiting and gossip, it seems harmless, but it is so detrimental to the body that we are admonished in the Word to let our conversation be holy all the time. So I challenge you to check yourself and check your phone, buddy. Amen. Sometimes you need to check folks. Amen. Tell them, hey, I am not a garbage can. Do not bring that garbage to me. Amen. Stop it dead in this track. Amen. Oh, it's getting quieter and quieter. But that's all right. Amen. Amen. We're not going to get caught up in backbiting and gossip, but rather we're going to pray one for another. And when we do that, what happens? Kingdom building can go forth. Am I right about it? All right. So we said the first thing we have to guard against is what? Say it again. All right. So we got to work against backbiting and gossip. All right. Number two. I told you I was giving you how many? Six. So number two is, ready? We'll turn to Proverbs 17. I already told you you weren't going to be shouting this morning. So you just go ahead. Amen. This is a learning. We're going to learn. We're going to grow up this morning. We'll shout next week, but we're going to grow this morning. How about that? All right. So second one is, bickering among lay members and leaders. What is that? That's little spats that, and arguments because you can't seem to get along with nobody. Or because you don't want to follow the instruction of someone placed over you. Or because you think you know how it ought to go. Let me just say, if you can't seem to get along with anybody, or you have a problem following leadership, or you think you know everything, then you need to check yourself. Amen. The Lord sent me here to tell you this morning, I'm getting real deep, right? The Lord sent me here to tell you this morning that it's not everyone else with a problem. It's you, and you need to check yourself. Amen. I love you. All right. Those little spats, arguments, and disagreements, they may seem little, but like that little lump on that woman's breast, if left untreated and unattended, it could spread into something far worse. Rodney King, that great prophet Rodney King, he said it best. He said, why can't we all just get along? I tell you why we can't get along, because the devil will magnify that thing you dislike about a person and have you focused on that rather than being focused on Jesus. And you got to remember that we don't come together to focus on one another. Now, although we intermingle with one another when we come together, but our focus should be on getting a word from God so that we can be about kingdom building. Amen? Listen, let me say this. If you get time to bicker, amen, and backbite, you got too much extra time on your hands. Maybe you ain't busy enough, because folks that are about business, they don't have time for foolishness. Am I right about it? All right, I told you to turn to Proverbs 17, right? You in Proverbs 17? All right, now this one may be a shocker for you, but you know, the shock factor is good sometimes. Proverbs 17, verse 14. Are you there? It says, the beginning of strife as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. And what it's saying there is, you ever had to go to the bathroom real bad, and then you went to the bathroom, you went to go to the bathroom, somebody was in there, so you had to wait, so you did the little bathroom dance, you know. And then, you wait a little while longer, and then when you finally got to the bathroom, you got to the toilet, there was no stopping you now. Amen. That's what the scripture says. It says the beginning of strife as when one letteth out. You can't stop it when you really got to go. Amen. So in other words, it's saying stop it before it even ever gets started. Amen. In other words, we ought to avoid bickering at all costs. We got to take the high road. Let me tell you something. It takes two to tangle. Amen. If you refuse to be the second party, that spat has to die. Amen. You can use that same principle at home with husbands and wives. Amen. You ain't got to argue, fuss, and fight. Amen. Take the high road. Somebody got to. Amen. The Bible says a house divided against itself will not stand. And if we get caught up in bickering among the leaders and the members, it brings division to the body of Christ. And no kingdom building can take place. Amen. Now, let me just say that I'm missing a lot of stuff here this morning, and that doesn't mean all that's going on in our church. Let me make sure that you understand that. This is one of those preventative messages so that we can stop it before the devil try to get it started. Amen? Amen. Okay, so we talked about, what was the first one? All right, and so the second one was what? Amen. What was the second one again? Yeah, I want to make sure we as especially leaders, come on, you supposed to, how you gonna lead and you bickering? Amen. That's not a good example. Amen. All right, the third one. We're on number three, right? Battling for position. Amen. Battling for position. That's when people try to be the favorites, try to get power and position, and it comes from an individual being full of pride, vain, conceited, and selfish. And guess what? There is no room for that in the kingdom. In fact, the whole kingdom is about others. Somebody say others. Yeah. Building up who? Others. The well-being of who? Others. Amen. Amen. The whole kingdom is about others. And you know something? as we check the record of the disciples, Jesus' disciples, guess what? They were that way. Jesus had to correct them and instruct them on several occasions about battling for position. And just as I instructed you today, I didn't tell you that, but go to Psalm 75. Psalm 75, you shouldn't be too far away, right? Amen. Psalm 75. Amen. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Jesus' disciples, they would often, they would, one time they even had a couple of the brothers, they had their mother ask Jesus, hey, mama, you go to Jesus and ask him, hey, can we get the good seats? Can we be in charge? Amen. Battling for a position. And then the Bible says that it caused a contention among the other disciples. Amen. Psalm 75, are you there? 6 and 7. It says, for promotion, if I want to be promoted in the Lord. I don't know about you. Promotion ain't bad. Amen. But it says, promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west, nor from the south. But God is who? God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Amen. Simply a way of saying that promotion doesn't come from anything external. It comes from God. Amen. 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 God is the judge. Okay, then how does God judge? How does God judge? What does he judge based on? Amen. Because if you want promotion, you need to know how to get promoted. Amen. All right, you can write this down. Check this out in your own time. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. It tells us that one of the ways God judges and promotes is based on your faithfulness. Somebody say faithfulness. Yeah, and faithfulness is you being consistent in season and out of season. When it feels good, and you know, it's easy to be faithful when everything's going all right. Yeah, but also, especially when it doesn't feel good. Amen. I'll be honest with you, I don't feel like coming every Sunday preaching a sermon. Amen. But amen, come on, that's just human nature. Sometimes your body be tired. Amen. You just, and then sometimes you get tired of folks. Amen. Amen. I'm just being honest. Amen. But I love all y'all. Amen. And I know y'all love me. Right? All right, about it. All right. All right. Praise the Lord. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. It says that, God, if you can count on anybody, you can count on me. Amen. Amen. Whatever you've been assigned to do, God is looking for faithful people he can promote. I tell the story all the time that I started off my first job in the church was I was a junior usher. Amen. And I didn't join the junior usher board because I was enthused about serving the Lord. I joined the junior usher board because of Colleen. Never mind. It was just... Amen. Amen. I went on from there. I joined the youth choir. Amen. And from the youth choir, I was in school to learn how to play. So I began to be a musician for a children's church. That was my very first musician job, being a musician for children's church. Amen. But each one, I'm showing you how God looked on these things, and he followed my faithfulness, and I was faithful with every assignment that I was called to. Amen. From there, I began to be a church musician. I graduated from being children's church to being a church musician. From there, I became an associate minister at a church. Before I became associate minister at a church, I was a musician for Pastor Hatter. And every Sunday, they would make the announcement, hey, we need somebody. Can we get somebody to clean the church? We need somebody to volunteer to be, and we'll, then they threw in, they said, we even pay you. If we, you know, and every Sunday, and I was looking around all the people, and nobody wanted to clean up the church. So I said, you know what? I'll do it. If you need somebody to do it, I'll do it. So I was the musician and the custodian. Amen. And so I did that for a period of time. And then from there, God promoted me to assistant, associate minister at the church, and then the rest is history. Amen? Amen. So you see how in my faithfulness, God looked on that, looked on my faithfulness, and he promoted. Amen. And he'll do the same. He's no respecter person. He'll do the same thing for you. Amen? Amen. So he looks on faithfulness. And let me just say that you don't have to jockey for power and position. Just be faithful. Amen. Hey, I, as the leader in charge of this ministry, I may never take notice of what you do, but I'm not the one you should be trying to impress. Amen. God is the one you should be trying to press, and he will take notice. He will take notice, and he will promote you based on meeting his criteria. Now, let me say he has several criteria that he look at. Another criteria that God uses to judge in order to promote, and another... Amen. Yeah. Yeah, that's another way of saying, listen, you may be a screw up in man's mind, in man's eyesight. You may not look the part in man's mind, but God may still promote you if your heart is right. So that tells me that I have to guard my heart with all diligence. The Bible says that for out of it, out of your heart, comes or flow the issues of life. Amen. So if we allow bad seed to be deposited in our hearts, amen, that bad seed will produce a bad harvest, and we can forget about promotion. Amen. Battling for position starts confusion. And the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. And if God is not the author of it, that means he ain't in it, which means it's the work of the enemy. And we gotta stay away from the works of the enemy. You have to stay focused on being faithful and keep your heart right. And let me tell you, that's a big job all by itself. Amen, amen, amen. You staying faithful, keeping your heart right, that's a big job right there. Amen. You ain't got time to be worried about sister so-and-so. You gotta worry about you, amen. And you do that, then God will take care of the promotion. Amen. I gotta move on. So we talked about what? What was the first one? All right, second one we talked about was, third one, and the fourth one, you should have got it in the spirit. No, I'm just kidding. Fourth one is belittling any person, member, or your ministry. Belittling any person, member, or your ministry. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you a question. If I'm talking about how bad my church is and how I dislike the people and the pastor and how nobody does anything right at my church, are you going to be enthused about coming to my church? You know, a lot of y'all, amen, are guilty. Amen. And how I know, because people come back and they... You know, this is a small world. You do know that, right? Facebook has kind of proven that, how small this world is. Everybody know everybody on their mama. Amen. And so sometimes the people you've been dogging your church out come back or will call and say, what about so-and-so? I'm like, huh? We'll just let that marinate. Amen. 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 Listen, you got to know that all of us got issues, and ain't none of us perfect. Amen. Okay, let me tell you something real deep. If you get to the point where you get out there and you want to look for the perfect church, let me give you a word of advice. Don't you join it, because you're going to mess it up. Yeah. All I'm trying to say is, we as saints, we should never belittle anybody, and especially your brothers and sisters in Christ. We should never talk down about our ministry. And if there's an area that we miss it in and it bothers you so much, that just may be the area God may be calling you to give your input in. Amen? Instead of you talking about how bad the ushers are, then why don't you join in and make them better? When I said that, Rachel turned around and said, huh? Now, our ushers do a fine job. I'm just using that as an example. Come on, say amen for our ushers. They do. Because, you know, people take all kinds of stuff and they run with it. I was just using it as an example. Amen. Amen. But if the Lord is, if you see something, hey, we encourage your input. Amen. Don't talk about us. Help us. Amen. You got to know and understand that people make up ministries. Amen. And if you're talking bad about your ministry, you're really talking bad about yourself. You do know that, right? Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4. I should have gave it to you, but 1 Thessalonians 4, amen, and verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11. I'm trying to hurry, but you getting some out of it so far? Amen. I'm trying to. God wants us to grow up. God, man, God obviously has some awesome things He wants to do to get us ready for where He wants us to go. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11 says, amen, well, you got it. It says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Okay, check 2 Thessalonians. Amen. I usually type them up. Huh? Okay. We're going to find it there. That's good. I didn't, you know, make me have to put my Bible out. All right. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Wherefore, comfort one another. 5:11. All right, 5:11. Yep, here it is. Okay, I was one number off. Come on, you. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, right? Okay, you there? Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify. You know what that word edify means, right? What is it? What does it mean? Build up, right? Build up one another, even as also ye do. In other words, you should be doing this already. Amen. Instead of tearing down one another and speaking things that tear down, we should be speaking things that give comfort and build up one another as well as your ministry. And we should be doing it consistently. Amen. Don't forget, we're supposed to be kingdom builders, not kingdom blockers. And let me say something else about belittling a person. Belittling a person comes from two things. One, looking at how valuable you think you are in your own mind's eye. And secondly, devaluing or not understanding the value of someone else. The Bible teaches that we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. It's okay to think high of yourself, but don't lift yourself up higher than Jesus to a point where you think ministry can't go on without you. In God's eyesight, get this now, everyone is valuable. In God's mind, everyone is important. In God's kingdom, every person is essential and everyone has a place. You may not understand their value or their importance, but God does. Amen? And we don't have a right to belittle or devalue anybody. You got to remember that Jesus died for them just like He died for you. Amen. So we have to see every man, every woman, every boy, every girl just as valuable, just as imperative, just as important to the kingdom as we are. Amen. So the first thing we have to guard against is what? I'm checking to see if you're listening. Number two. Number three. And then number four. All right. We also have to guard against, this is a major one, we have to guard against becoming burned out believers. We have to guard against becoming burned out believers. That's when you are so worn down, you're so tired, you're so exhausted that you become useless and inactive for kingdom building. In fact, you're so burned out that you don't even want to be around the saints anymore. And the saints are the ones that are supposed to help build you up. Amen. They're the ones that are supposed to lift you up when you get a little weak. You know, that the story is told in the Old Testament how Moses, the children of Israel were fighting a battle. And the record was that if as long as Moses held his hands up, that the children of Israel would be victorious. But you know, they were fighting all day. And so sooner or later, his arms got a little tired. So he needed somebody to come and help lift his arms up so that they could continue to have the victory. Amen, amen. So don't let the devil get you to not come. Amen. That's when you need help the most. Amen. Yeah, not only the devil that, but not only that, but the devil wants you to be so worn down that your resistance, whether it's spiritual or natural, amen, is so low that he can attack you without you putting up a fight. And that assures that he will win that round. Amen. But he may have won that round, but I'm here today to help you win the fight. Amen. And I found out that there are three basic reasons that believers get burned out. Three basic reasons. I want you to write these down. Amen. Let me just say, as spirit-filled children of God, there should never be a time. Let me say it again. There should never be a time when you become burned out. How can you be burned out when the fire of God is supposed to live on the inside of you? How can you get burned out when the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is supposed to infuse the very core of your being? I'll tell you why believers get burned out. Again, it's these three basic reasons. Number one, are you ready? A lack of understanding. And you can put in parentheses, understanding the fact that you can't do everything. Amen. Lack of understanding. Number two, a lack of rest. In parentheses, or a time of inactivity. Number three, a lack of time of edification. In parentheses, you can put, or a time of building up yourselves. I'll say it again because there's a lot of people writing. A lack of understanding, or understanding the fact that you can't do everything. Number two, a lack of rest, or a time of inactivity. Number three, a lack of time of edification, or a time of building up yourselves. Notice that all three of them stem from a lack. Amen. And a lack comes from you not doing what is necessary so that you can have. Amen? Let's talk about the first one, a lack of understanding that you can't do everything. The devil, again, we're looking at his strategy so we can know, so we can win. The devil will try to fool you into believing that this, and that got to be done. Amen? And then he'll tell you, well, what will people think if you don't do this, and that? And don't forget to do this. Right? I've adopted a saying, and I'm going to give it to you free today. Amen. And my saying, and you can use it after today, you don't even have to give me credit. My saying is simply this: it's okay. Go ahead, look at your name and say, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. When the devil comes along trying to get me to step out in an area where I'm not covered, I say, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. If something don't get done, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. You got to realize God has given you 24 hours in a day. And if it don't get done today, guess what? We'll get it done tomorrow. And if it don't get done tomorrow, you know what? It's okay. Amen. And I'm not saying be careless about things and procrastinate. That's not what I'm saying. But rather learn how to prioritize things in your life. Amen. That's why you need to be spirit-filled with the Holy Spirit, amen. Because a whole lot of things you think are important really are not necessary. And if you eliminate, somebody say eliminate. Yeah, that's what you do when you go to the bathroom, you eliminate. Yeah. If you eliminate some of those things in your life that you don't need, your life will be stress-free. Amen. So let's go on, let's move on. I got to move on. I don't want to bore you. I see some folks sleep already. Let's talk about a lack of getting enough rest. One day the disciples, they came back from doing ministry, and they had great victories. They had massive healings, and a whole lot of demons were cast out. And they wanted to continue on to the next city to do ministry. But Jesus told them, wait, hold up. No. He said, and you do know Jesus wanted ministry to go forward, but he said, no, wait. Let's stop and rest a while. And in him telling them that, it lets us know that rest is vital to kingdom building. Amen? Okay, some of you haven't had a vacation in your life. Amen? And you use the excuse that you ain't got enough money for a vacation. Oh, we get real quiet in here. Well, you don't have to have a lot of money to take a vacation. Amen? And taking a vacation means you pause from your normal routine to relax, to enjoy yourself, and you enjoy life. There were years when our family didn't take a vacation, or didn't have money to go out of town for a vacation, rather. So we took time off to enjoy this city. Amen? And we live in a very beautiful city. Amen. And there are a whole lot of places and things to see in this city and enjoy. Amen. And one of the things I actually found out by accident, that if you are a resident, some of this city, some places will charge you a cheaper price than what they would charge the tourists. Amen. Okay. All right. Some of you got relatives living in other states. Amen. Maybe you got a little money for a little driving vacation. All right. Go visit your relatives in another state. Amen. Most times if you tell them that you're going to come and visit them, they'll put you up at their house. Amen. So you don't have to worry about the hotel, you know, because they want to, they're in that small town or that other city. They want a big shot. I want to be big shot. They got them big city folks coming to stay with us this week, you know. So they don't mind putting you up. Amen. And you can enjoy yourself by getting away from your normal routine and getting some rest. And then when you come off your vacation, you know what? You feel fresh and ready for another round of kingdom building. Am I right about it? My point is, take a break. Amen. Take a pause for the cause. It will help you in the long run. You know that those jobs that we work on, you know, your job, they give you a break and a lunchtime, amen, and some vacation time, because they understand the importance of you getting away for a time so that you can come back and help build their corporation. That's why they do that. All right. And finally, we said the third reason for burnout believers is a lack of edification. The Bible tells us in Jude 20 to build yourselves up, praying in the Holy Ghost. So when I see a saint that's burned out, that tells me that there's someone who has neglected to recharge their spiritual battery. That tells me there's someone who has failed to take the allotted time to pray in the Spirit. You won't get burned out if you keep yourself disciplined and focused. Amen? The trick of the enemy is to wear you down and burn you out so that you can become weak and ineffective in kingdom building. Don't let the enemy win. Check yourself. Build yourself up so that you can continue to be a kingdom builder. Amen? I got to move on. So we talked about what? Number one. What was it? Backbiting and gossip. No, we talked about what? Number two. Number three. Number four. Okay. Number five. Okay. All right. We're almost there, right? Finally, we have to check ourselves against becoming disunified. Amen. We've got to check ourselves from becoming disunified, because you can sit right here and listen to all the sermons, attend all the meetings, be a part of the committees, and still become disunified. Anything that is dis means that it has become unconnected. So this is talking about a believer becoming disconnected to the unity that they once had. Notice they were once connected to unity at one time, but somewhere they allowed the enemy to come in and cause them to get disconnected from the unity. Have you ever accidentally tripped over or disconnected the radio or the TV or whatever? Yeah. Maybe you tripped over the cord or something. What happened to that apparatus? Yeah, it lost its power. Am I right about it? It stopped playing. It stopped operating. Am I right? In essence, it became ineffective for its purpose. And that's the danger in becoming disunified. And the Bible is clear on the blessings of unity. In fact, in Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, God makes a statement that because of man's unity, nothing that he imagines to do will be impossible for him to achieve. Amen? Over in Psalms 133, it talks about where there is unity, God pronounces the blessing, even life, forevermore. Over in Acts chapter 2, it talks about how when the 120 were in one place on one accord, in essence, operating in unity, how the Holy Spirit could move, how the Holy Spirit could operate. The book of Acts goes on to talk about how when believers operate in unity, kingdom building can go forward. And let me tell you something, that's why the devil fights so hard against unity. He knows that if a people ever get unified, he knows that if a family ever operates in unity, he knows that if a body of believers will come together on one accord, losing their agendas, amen, and getting God's agenda, what happens? The kingdom will have to go forward and be built up. And the devil gets concerned about that. Why? The devil gets concerned about the unity of the people because he knows that if believers are about building God's kingdom, then the more we build God's kingdom, then Satan's kingdom is going to get torn down. Yeah, and so to stop kingdom building, Satan will unleash everything he's got to come against the church. But I'm so glad Jesus already let us know over 2,000 years ago that on the rock of truth, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He says, on this rock I will build my church, and the very gates of hell will not prevail against it. Yeah, yeah, that tells me something. That tells me that hellhounds may bark, that demons may try to disrupt, but the promise is that they will not prevail. Hallelujah. So I challenge each and every one of you here today to check yourself. Come on, snap back from that pit of murmuring, complaining, and self-consciousness. See, when you focus on self, you can't focus on Jesus. So I challenge you to stop any action that you may be involved in that would hinder kingdom building. Don't be a kingdom blocker used by the devil, but rather be a kingdom builder used by God. I close with this final thought, and then an illustration, then we'll go on from here. But the key to not getting caught up is to stay focused, stay committed, and stay prayed up. Amen. You got to stay focused, stay committed, and stay prayed up. Amen.